This is the sworn statement of Craig Paladeau. Today's date is November the 14th, 2008. The time is approximately 3:16 in the evening. The statement is being taken over the phone. Craig, would you acknowledge for the record that you're aware that I'm tape recording this statement?
Yes.
Okay. I've introduced myself to Craig Paladeau as Bill Branscombe, a private investigator employed by the law firm of Robert G. Bernhoft out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the firm having an interest in an individual that Craig knows as Troy Stratus. Craig, when, where, and under what circumstances did you first meet Troy Stratus?
I was actually working at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills. And Troy came in late one night, and I helped him get checked in. And he couldn't get a room, so I got him situated before he came out the door. I got him situated over at the Regent, which is our sister property. I think they're still sister properties. I had him upgraded and all that just because I thought he was a player and he was someone that needed to be taken care of. He had a great way of doing that with people. And we became friends, and I asked him about, employment in the industry, and he said he was looking for someone.
When would this have been? What year?
This was in 96.
Okay. Yeah. And at that time, did he present as being a wealthy person?
Yes.
What did he tell you, if anything, about his personal financial status?
He just alluded that he had a lot of money, that he had a lot of big connections and a lot of big money behind him.
Okay. And what business was he actually in?
He was a quote-unquote director.
I see. And director like the Hollywood type of director, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you expressed an interest in the industry, and he told you he was looking for someone.
Yep.
What did you do next?
Well, I was all over it. I felt like it was my intro into the business, and I thought, I could learn a lot from this guy. He's a successful young guy, and it turned out to be your worst nightmare. So,
now, was Richard Hatt involved in this at all?
I met Richard probably a week after working with Troy. I didn't know too much about him or Troy tried to, like I said earlier to you, he isolated people from people. He didn't want us talking to certain people. And, so he was really good at kind of making you, being very isolated. He didn't want, he had all sorts of excuses. He didn't want his personal life. Richard, he said, had a big mouth at the time. There was a lot of things. And, so, It was interesting. Now that I look back, I just kind of laugh because I was just such an I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Okay. Now, at that time, did he have any projects going on?
Yes, he was trying to get I forget the name of it, but it was about the lady referee. He was trying to get that movie off the ground.
In the lady boxing referee.
Yeah. And then he also had Plantation. A bunch of us were sitting down, and he'd come up with Plantation. We'd worked on that, and he was trying to sell it. And I had even driven him to Casey Warner. They did Third Rock from the Sun and a few big shows like that. And he was trying to get a bunch of recording artists to get a label going. We were dealing with our Artesia Records, I believe. Clive Davis's label.
Okay.
And I remember dealing with the VP at the time, so I thought Troy was a real mover.
He would have been about 30 years old at the time?
Yeah. And, the first project I was put on was trying to get Nancy Wilson tribute. We were trying to get a whole big 2-hour special Bill Cosby would be the host, and I remember Troy going over Bill's what would it be? There's a Bill Cosby has had the same management since day one, apparently. This guy is probably a good guy, but I was led to believe he was just an old archaic guy, and Troy was trying to go over his head right to Bill, and so that was the first sign that, you know, there was trouble, and I didn't realize it.
Okay. Now, these projects, did he have an investor or investors?
He said he had a couple guys, and I think I've got the name. I know I have some names in a box. One guy's at L.A. He would go and see him every once in a while, and I think he was Arabic. He has an office, or he did have an office on Beverly.
Okay, I'd be very curious to know who that was.
Yeah, I've got to see if I can find those records. I'm sure I've got them around somewhere.
Okay. Anybody else invest money in these projects?
I know Jody too. Somehow she was involved, but we were really never told. What I was told was Troy was, to avoid taxes, he was filtering the money through Jody somehow, legally with tax lawyers and stuff like that, and then Jody was giving it back to Troy. Don't ask me how, you know. I was like, okay, whatever. I, you know.
But basically, Troy told you a story that would explain that the money that appeared to be coming from Jody too
was his own.
Was actually his own.
Yeah.
And from where you sit now, what?
Well, I was so naive.
Okay. Now, what happened to Jody too?
You know, I don't know, because after we did that video and the check started bouncing the next day, people were knocking on our door threatening us, and I kind of retreated didn't come back to work. I was like, I'm done. And he was like, no, don't leave me. I need you now more than ever. And for about a week, this went on, and finally I drove him. He said he had some Russian investors, and I drove him to meet these guys, and I knew the one guy because he used to come into the Four Seasons, and he was not the kind of guy you wanted to do business with. And Troy had about, I think, 30 or 40,000 personal money, and apparently he'd given it to this guy as good faith to get more money, and the guy hosed him, from what I understand. And I didn't want anything to do with that. I think this guy was Russian mafia, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
And, you know, at this point, I was more scared than anything, too. I was like, well, you know, what's going on? You know, because I was under this. It was the first time I saw where this wasn't legit.
Now, you say you got paychecks that bounced.
Yeah, he'd wrote a bunch of checks to the models and Beverly Johnson and Vivica Fox, and Richard was writing them, actually, I think they all bounced.
Okay.
For
now,
the video.
Did you have any occasion to lose any money yourself with this situation?
Yeah, I was foolish enough to let Troy on my American Express card. Not only did I not work, get paid the last 4 months working with him, but he rang up, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 on my American Express.
And he didn't pay you back?
No. He gave me, about a year later after all this happened, he gave me $20,000, I think, or $10,000 and $10,000, something like that.
Okay.
But, that didn't pay for anything from what I lost.
And so, the amount that he would owe you today if he wanted to settle up would be what?
I couldn't even tell you, Bill, because of the interest and the you know, the hardships he put me through. I don't think you could put a number on that stuff.
Okay, just as far as the
the actual principal and all that. Oh, $90,000.
He ran up a $90,000 bill on your American Express card.
It wasn't all just on my American Express. I had other cards.
Oh, and how many cards did you let him use?
There's three or four cards where I put stuff on for him.
For how long did you continue to communicate with him about that money after you went?
Oh, I've tried for it's right up till now.
And what does he tell you?
Dangles a carrot and then never follows through.
So for more than 10 years, he's been promising payment that has yet to materialize.
Yeah. And I always thought, well, you know, keep your enemies close, right?
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I'll get some of this back.
And at this point?
At this point, after Sherry came forth and I saw the website and I started talking to her and started doing more research, I honestly didn't realize until the last few months really what he is about. I mean, I actually thought deep down he was going to try and do the right thing and give people, you know, get back on track. But that's not his agenda. And I don't think, from everything I've read, and from talking to you and just from talking to all the people involved, you can't be a genuine person. There's a short wire there somewhere with him. Because you can't sleep at night. I could never sleep at night with what he's pulled.
Yeah.
He's wrecked. The only reason I'm coming forth is I don't care about the money anymore. You know, that's way past. I'm just kind of disappointed myself that I didn't bring this to light because, you know, watching what he's done to other people, the havoc and how he just dismantles people's lives and just moves on like it's no big deal.
Now, to put things in perspective, when you talk about getting hit for $90,000,
It ruined me. Ruined me for a couple of years. Not only was it the worst year of my life, I had to come and live with my sister and brother-in-law and live in their playroom, the kids' playroom, because that's the only place I could live. I had no money. My dad called me up in August to tell me he was terminal, and a friend paid for a ticket so I could go up and see him, and he died 3 months later. It was about as low as you could go.
Now, as you look back on things, how do you perceive Richard Hack's role in this whole thing?
You know, I don't know. You know, I Richard's a smart guy. That's all I can say. I can't believe Richard doesn't know what's going on. If he's applauded with this, I don't know. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you one thing. He's not stupid, so I can't believe that he doesn't know what's going on.
Do you know of any of the other... let me ask you about the projects that he was working on. I think you made it pretty clear that they did not turn into successful money-making things.
They all failed.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that they ever had a legitimate chance to be successful, or was this just something he was doing to be able to have the window dressing necessary to be able to get investors to put money into these things?
You know, that's a hard question to answer because I was so into the projects and really thought that they could be successful. So, you know, I got to think that Troy thought they were going to be, and I don't know if this was the whole catalyst to the way he's conducted business, but. Gosh, I thought there was a couple of them that had legitimate chances. I just thought Troy shortcut it. He was always trying to shortcut. And I don't know if that is, and he just decided to shortcut all the way and start really burning people or what happened.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he's got some great ideas and he's got a lot of talent. I mean, if he'd done things the right way, God knows, you know, yeah, it would have taken longer and harder, more work. But I think he could have been successful.
Okay, well, is there anything that I haven't asked you about that I should have asked you about? Anything else you want to cover?
I'm just trying to think, you know, there was a doctor, I think his name was Jeff something, I can't remember his whole name. I think he's on that website of his too. And I know that he'd given Jeff money, and Jeff had put the names of his cars at the time were in Jeff's name. And that should have been a signal for me. I didn't find that out until about 6 months into it, though. So he had like a Lexus LS300, you know, the coupe, and a 500E. At the time, that was the fastest sedan you could buy, the Mercedes.
Right.
And they were both in Jeff's name. They weren't in his name. So he probably took Jeff, too, to the cleaners. I think that was his name.
Okay.
And he had a huge warehouse of stuff. Like a friggin'... It was a warehouse of, like, going through a designer store, you know. Just there was tons and tons of furniture and new stereo and big screen TVs. And, you know, he would do stuff like that. He'd just buy stuff on a whim. So, and I don't know where any of that is anymore. And when I say warehouse, it was a friggin' warehouse.
So he liked the toys, and he had very expensive taste.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Craig, you know what perjury is?
I do.
And so you understand that you have an obligation to tell the truth in making a sworn statement?
I do.
Okay. Anybody offered you anything, threatened you with anything, promised you anything to get you to make the statement?
No.
Well, mindful of your obligation to tell the truth in a sworn statement, would you swear or affirm that the statements that you've made as commemorated on this tape recording are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes.
Okay. That will conclude the statement of Craig Paladu. Time is approximately 3:34 in the evening.